Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Happy Monday, January 14th, 2018. I am the captain of this ship, the man behind the mic. Your host of WKAR's Current Sports, Al Martin. And yes, folks, I'm doing just fine. Okay, my Dallas Cowboys took the L over the weekend against the LA Rams. You know, I did cling on to a lot of hope that my Cowboys would somehow, some way, you know, find a way to win that game. But, man, the Rams are playing on another level right now. They have so many weapons. Sean McVay, you know, becoming the youngest coach in NFL history to win a postseason game. Previously, that record was held by the great John Madden, whose video game I'm a huge fan of. Everybody is, right? I mean, it's unreal. You know, what Sean McVay has been able to build out in L.A. with the Rams. So, you know, my Cowboys had a great year. I'm not crying a river. Did it hurt? Yes. But an overall solid season. Quite the turnaround after watching how we began the year. So I'm doing all right, okay? You won't get any boo-hoos from me. Solid year, still respect the star. But I got a lot that I want to get off my chest concerning the NFL playoffs and the weekend that was in the NFL playoffs, because it was quite entertaining, and I want to make a big point when it comes to one team, all right? So you don't want to miss that. We'll have plenty of NFL playoff chatter for you all. We will also, of course, no braino here, talk about the Big Ten men's basketball lineup that we saw over the weekend. That included your Michigan State men's basketball team. How about Tom Izzo and the Spartans picking up a win on the road at Penn State yesterday afternoon on national television, courtesy of CBS. The Spartans, you know, tying a record now for now 18 straight Big Ten wins. That's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. And on the same day, later on that evening, we saw the Michigan Wolverines continue to just look like a national championship contender, a legit national championship contender. John Beilein, I don't know what he has done out there in Ann Arbor, but the Wolverines look really, really good. All right, we'll roll in audio, and I didn't know whether or not Tom Izzo was still going to hold his regular noon press conference, but he has. He spoke at noon at the Breslin Center, not even 24 hours after returning from Penn State to really fully digest that win over the Nittany Lions. But still, Izzo spoke, and you'll get to hear a bit of what Coach Izzo had to say as he puts a lid on that game now. And they move on into the Big Ten season, all right? So you don't want to miss that. And then, again, like I mentioned with the Michigan men's basketball team, I want to just answer the question, how good exactly is this team? And then we'll have weekend winners for you. So it's going to be a loaded show, as we customarily do. Our phone lines will stay open all the way up until 2 p.m. If you want to join me here on the air and get off anything that happens to be on your sports chest, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can watch and comment below the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. a few of you already weighing in there. Ben, I see ya. You know, I'm wondering if there's going to be any current sports live stream in the history of this show in which Ben does not beat the rest of our listeners to the punch in leaving that very first comment. But what's up, Ben? I see you, man. I'm going to get to your comments in just a moment. Or you can even tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR underscore sports. We've got Connor Mathis rocking the mic behind the glass, engineering this party on this Monday. Connor, let's hit him with our current sports quick hit headliners. As I just mentioned, Michigan State men's basketball in action yesterday for a 4:30 p.m. tip time against the Penn State Nittany Lions. And number six, Michigan State kept their conference win streak alive with a 71-56 dub over Penn State. Nick Ward led the Spartans in scoring with 16 points. He added 11 boards as well. Kenny Goins, he finished with 7 points, 10 boards, and Xavier Tillman had 5.7 boards, 3 blocks, as the Spartans' three reserves outscored Penn State's bench 15-0. So the Spartans will now look to continue their conference win streak come this Thursday against Nebraska, and that game will be on the road. Michigan State continuing this this road portion of its schedule in the preliminary stages of the Big Ten Conference. We'll have more on the Michigan State men's basketball win over Penn State in just a moment. We will also provide audio from this afternoon's Michigan State men's basketball press conference featuring, of course, head coach Tom Izzo. So you don't want to touch that dial. Tom had a few interesting things of note. And by the way, Michigan State did this yesterday without Josh Langford for yet another game. And then news broke before tip time that Kyle Arns was also not going to play. So pretty impressive win for the Spartans. Now, when it comes to the University of Michigan men's basketball team, number two, Michigan, took care of business, getting a win over Northwestern, a win by 20 points, 80-60, the final there. Michigan basketball set a program record for best start to a season with the 20-point victory over the Wildcats to extend their undefeated record to 17-0. My goodness, the Wolverines look legit, folks. Michigan will next take on the Wisconsin Badgers, who they will play on Saturday. All right, more on the Wolverines later this hour as well. Also, the Michigan State women's basketball team hits the road today to take on Ohio State, a 7 p.m. tip time on the Big Ten Network with Vera Jones and my former mentor at Channel 6, Lisa Byington, on the call. Michigan State snapped a two-game losing streak with a win against Minnesota on January 9th and stands at 12-3 this season, 2-2 in Big Ten play. Ohio State is 5-8 this year, 1-3 in the Big Ten. Also, want to pass this news along to you all because we actually didn't get this news until about an hour after we got off the air on Friday's edition of Current Sports. But as many of you know by now, former Michigan State men's basketball coach Gus Gannakis, he passed away on Friday. He was 92 years old. Gannakis coached the Spartans from 1969 to 1976, compiling an 89-84 record. After his coaching career, Gannakis served as assistant athletic director until 1998 and as an aide to current MSU head coach Tom Izzo from 1998 to 2000. He was also a color commentator on MSU's radio broadcast for 30 years alongside the great Will Tiemann. Gannakis' funeral mass will be held 11 a.m. this Wednesday at St. Thomas Aquinas Church. That address is 955 Alton Road in East Lansing. Again, 955 Alton Road, 11 a.m. this Wednesday at St. Thomas Aquinas Church. Interment will follow at St. Joseph Catholic Cemetery. And the address for that location is 2520 West Willow Street in Lansing. 2520 West Willow Street in Lansing. Visitation will be held from 3 to 8 p.m. tomorrow at the church. But again, may he rest in peace. The great Gus Gannakis, former head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, passing away at the age of 92. I really hope I get somewhere close to that age throughout my lifetime. A life well lived, and we'll have more on Gus in just a moment as well. All right, to less important matters, the Michigan State hockey team split their series against number 11 Penn State. Michigan State played a solid and spirited game against Penn State on Friday night, but it wasn't enough as the Nittany Lions held off MSU for a 4-2 dub in a Big Ten series opener in front of a crowd of 6,096 at Pagula Arena. The Spartans, though, bounced back on Saturday with a 6-4 win over the Nittany Lions. The Spartans' next game will take place this Saturday at home against Minnesota. And a big-time congratulations to a local product who really took the world, the soccer world, by storm during his high school days as a star at East Lansing High School. Went on to Michigan State to play under the great Damon Rensing and continue to just excel at the sport of football. DeJuan Jones was picked 11th overall by the New England Revolution in the MLS Super Draft on Friday. Jones was a second-team All-Big Ten selection in both 2017 and 2018. As a junior in 2017, Jones tallied 7 goals and 6 assists, including 3 game-winning goals. In 2018, Jones had 5 goals and 5 assists in helping Michigan State reach the College Cup. For his MSU career, Jones had 16 goals and 14 assists in 75 appearances. This is what Jones had to say after being drafted by the New England Revolution. Quote, "It's one of those things where you dream of your whole life to play professional soccer. For that to finally come to fruition, it was an amazing feeling with my family, my parents, my sister, my niece, and some extended family to all be there in that moment was better than I could have ever imagined it." Very cool stuff, and Jones has been a part of our broadcast numerous times. I actually went to school with DeJuan's sister, Stephanie, and I saw her posting on her social media on Instagram just how elated she was to see her little bro make his professional soccer dreams come true. So we're working on getting DeJuan Jones a part of Current Sports sometime this week. Keep it locked. All right, the University of Michigan has fired a gymnastics coach who at her previous job at USA Gymnastics was told that Larry Nassar was sexually assaulting gymnasts, but she waited at least a month before reporting it to authorities. Rhonda Fayen lasted less than 1 week at U of M, and this is coming directly from Ward Manuel, University of Michigan athletic director, in a press release issued at 9 p.m. yesterday. Quote, "I have come to the conclusion that it is not in the best interest of the University of Michigan and our athletic program to continue the consulting contract with Rhonda Fayen." Now, Fayen was never formally implicated in the Larry Nassar scandal, which included hundreds of allegations of sexual abuse under the guise of Nassar's medical treatment. But she was ousted as the head of USA Gymnastics women's program in May, a week after Olympic gold medalist Allie Raisman called for her to step down in an interview with the Indianapolis Star. All right, the Detroit Pistons look to build on their victory over the LA Clippers when they face the Utah Jazz tonight. The Pistons could use a nice road win after losing 7 of their last 9 games, just not playing great basketball at all. The game will tip off at 9 p.m. You can catch it on Fox Sports Detroit. And also a quick recap of the NFL playoffs. Yeah, the Chiefs defeated the Colts 31-13. Also, my Dallas Cowboys come up short against the L.A. Rams 30-22, the final there. Phillip Rivers and the L.A. Chargers still can't beat Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. That was a 41-28 drubbing. And Nick Foles' magic ends as the Philadelphia Eagles fall at the hands of the New Orleans Saints 20-14. More on the NFL playoffs in just a moment as well. If you would like to weigh in and let your voice be heard throughout this hour, again, pick up that phone. I want to hear from you guys. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and comment below the live stream there. And again, as I mentioned, you can tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR.
My whole career has been one that I've enjoyed. Whatever I did, I was an administrator, a coach, and the radio, the TV. I've, you know, gained a lot of exposure and met a lot of talented people and acquired friends. So it's been very fulfilling. It really helped bridge the gap.
What are you going to do in the second half?
Hopefully play a little better.
I love Michigan State. For me, it's and being a part of it, a small part of it from a coaching standpoint, but as a student, it fills me with a lot of pride of how this school grew from Michigan State College, known probably, I didn't ever think, know about the name Michigan State College, but it became a nationally prominent university. I like being remembered and associated with Michigan State University and with a very successful athletic program.
Right, and that is how we push along here on WKAR's Current Sports. First off, thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your Monday afternoon. I really hope you all had a great weekend. I hope it was filled with a lot of sports, which I'm sure it was. I'm sure you guys tuned in to all of the NFL playoff action that took place in the NFL playoffs. But before I get to that, because I want to make a few points when it comes to what we witnessed on the gridiron, on the highest level of play in the world of football. Before we get to that, you just heard a piece courtesy of MSU All Access, a piece centered on Gus Kanakis, who sadly passed away. We got this news on Friday. A little after we got off the air, you know, about an hour after 2 p.m., I want to say it was around like a little after 3 p.m., where it actually, you know, flashed across my email when I was actually meeting with my news director. And, you know, I had to just kind of, we just kind of stopped in our tracks. Oh my gosh, you know, Gus Kanakis has passed away. And, you know, we got that news up immediately on our website. And I did a short piece over the weekend for WKAR's current state. I did a crosstalk with, again, our news director, Reginald Hardwick here, just talking about the life of Gus Ganakis, and quite a life it was, and he was certainly a staple here in East Lansing and, of course, with Michigan State Athletics. And just real briefly, just to talk about, you know, Gus as a person, as a man, you know, I got a chance, you know, ever since I was a student here at Michigan State, when I first began covering sports in some kind of capacity as an intern around here in the area, you know, and I began to cover Michigan State men's basketball, I mean, you can't help but run into Gus, right? Because he was a part of the radio broadcast with Will Thiemann, game in and game out, and I got a chance to meet him. I remember when my news director at WLNS TV6, Fred Heumann, you know, as an intern, he introduced me to Gus. And, you know, Gus, for those who have whoever got the chance to meet, you know, Gus Ganakis, he was one of those guys who has that personality that when you meet him, you feel like you've known him all your life, right? And Gus was that same way. I mean, Gus shook my hand, looked me in the eye, and, you know, asked about where I was from and, you know, how am I enjoying interning at Channel 6, and just a really warm, down-to-earth personality. And you'll hear that from so many people that got the opportunity to meet Gus and really get to know him. And he was always so kind and so energetic. And, you know, he will certainly be missed. You know, I mean, he was the Michigan State men's basketball coach from 1969 to 76, and was a part of the athletics department from 1964. Just think about that. From 64 until his retirement in 2000. And even after that, again, you know, on the radio, after that, still living here in the East Lansing area, still at Michigan State men's basketball practice. I mean, you talk about a Spartan. He was a Spartan through and through, and he will certainly be missed. And again, if you missed our announcement during our headliners when it comes to the funeral arrangements of Gus Ganakis, again, I want to pass this news along to you all. And again, we'll post this on our Facebook page later on this afternoon at facebook.com/WKAR News. The funeral mass of Ganakis will take place 11 a.m. on Wednesday at St. Thomas Aquinas Church. That address, 955 Alton Road in East Lansing, 955 Alton, A-L-T-O-N Road here in East Lansing, Michigan. The interment will follow at St. Joseph Catholic Cemetery at 2520 West Willow Street in Lansing. Visitation will be held tomorrow from 3 to 8 p.m. at St. Thomas Aquinas Church. And thank you to Connor Mathis for putting that information into our headliners. Again, we'll make that available later on at facebook.com/WKAR News. But if you have any memories, for those who, you know, got a chance to meet Gus or just have any thoughts about what he meant, not just to Michigan State men's basketball, but to Michigan State athletics, I would love to hear from you. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Okay. I want to, before we dive into the Michigan State men's basketball weekend, and again, you'll hear some audio from Tom Izzo in just a moment, courtesy of his Monday afternoon press conference. I was wondering whether or not Tom was still going to do it because, again, they just had a game yesterday afternoon against Penn State, and less than 24 hours after that, you know, Tom still talked to the media at the Breslin Center. So you'll get to hear from Tom in just a moment. But I do want to talk about the NFL playoffs because, you know, it was a fun weekend. You know, it was a fun weekend just to sit back, relax, and watch some games. You know, I already addressed my Dallas Cowboys. You know, regardless of what happened against the L.A. Rams, I mean, that L.A. Rams team is a really, really good football team. You know, and I still, you know, looking at the how the Rams defense has played at times throughout this year, not a stout defense. I thought my Cowboys at least had a shot, and they didn't get blown out here. 30-22. That isn't a blowout. The Cowboys were still competitive. Just the Rams are just playing at a they played at a crazy level. Crazy level over the weekend. So I was fine. All right. Afterwards, I worked out, got it off my mind. My phone did blow up. But all in all, you know, I'm happy with the way the season went for the Star.
But how do you feel now that Jason Garrett's going to be there for another couple of years because of that playoff run?
And, you know, I've been asked about this as well. First off, I don't think Jason is a horrible coach. I'm not going to say he's horrible. There are many, many coaches I can name in the NFL counter that are much worse than Jason Garrett. Is he a coach that's going to lead you to the Super Bowl? No. You know, and with Jason at the helm, you're kind of stuck in limbo. You're like in a period where, okay, you're going to have a competitive team. You know, this team isn't going to lay down, but Jason isn't a Super Bowl winning caliber coach. So in that regard, yeah, that irks me a bit. You know, and I kind of toyed with the scenario whether I would have wanted the Cowboys to just continue to have a dismal season after starting 3-5 and not make the playoffs, because I think that would have forced Jerry Jones's hand to indeed fire Jason, and then you could probably go from a rebuild and see what other coaching prospects are out there. And that's an interesting thought to have. But I just think, kind of look at the big picture. This isn't a Jason Garrett problem. This is for the Cowboys, for my Cowboys, an NFC problem, because I think that the Cowboys – For the next, you know, 5-7 years, I just don't think that, looking at this team right now, I don't think the Cowboys are ever going to be legit competitors for a Super Bowl just because of the rest of the competition that is so good in the NFC. I mean, this is an LA Rams team, Connor, that is going to be good for years and years to come, man. A lot of great young talent on both sides of the football, even though that defense has got some holes in it. I just think that when you look at the Cowboys and you look at the players, you know, Dak Prescott is a quarterback who is going to be above average, but not elite. Never going to be elite. He does some great things. He's just incredibly inconsistent with his arm. He'll make some throws. You're like, my goodness, that was right on the dime. Great read. He's also incredibly mobile. I mean, Dak, when he gets outside of the pocket, he can make some magic happen with his legs. He's tough. He's a leader. I love all of those qualities, but he will never be elite. He's a good quarterback, but he's not elite. And I think if you're going to win in today's NFL, kind of you need an elite quarterback. It's just the fact of the matter. You know, but he has great weapons around him, which makes him look better than he is at times, with Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, you know, Cole Beasley, so on and so forth. But you know, I'm kind of numb right now when it comes to the Cowboys, just because I've been through this so many years now, where, you know, we've been in the running, just can't get over that hump, can't get past at least the second weekend to at least the NFC Championship game. But I just think the NFC is just so good right now. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs defeating the Colts, that was the Indianapolis Colts, that was a big surprise for me, because I thought that the Colts were going to be more competitive than they were. When I saw 31-13 at the end of that game, I said, wow. That speaks to the true talent of the Chiefs. And, you know, looking at the Chiefs' history when it comes to the playoffs, you know, many people believe that they have been cursed. I just kind of had a feeling that, you know, yeah, we were going to see something crazy happen that possibly would have derailed the Kansas City Chiefs moving on. But, you know, I think Andy Reid and company, they've established a new culture there. This is a different team. And then, you know, finally, I just want to briefly, you know, comment on, you know, the Nick Foles magic, yes, indeed, ending, as the Philadelphia Eagles will not be returning to the Super Bowl for a chance to repeat as Super Bowl champs as they fall to the New Orleans Saints 20-14. You know, that was a game, looking at how it started, you know, 14-0. You know, I was buying into it just like many of you guys watching that game. You know, the Eagles' magic continues, right? But you got to give, you know, head coach Sean Payton and the Saints a lot of credit for how resilient they were in that game to battle back, you know, and to still compete when you're down by that much in the playoffs against a really good Philly team. That's impressive. That is really impressive stuff. So, you know, we'll see what the Saints can do. I mean, the Saints are a team that I could see in the Super Bowl as well. I mean, Drew Brees is playing at a high, high level. He's in the running for MVP. You know, special stuff. But the game I really want to tackle here before we talk some MSU men's basketball and you hear from head coach Tom Izzo, I just want to comment on the L.A. Chargers falling the way they did at the hands of the New England Patriots. 41-28, the final in that game, because if there was any year where you looked at the Patriots and said that, no, they're not getting to the Super Bowl this year, or you said to yourself, yeah, they look incredibly vulnerable right now, it's this season. I mean, we haven't seen a year quite like this for the Pats. You know, all the drama in the offseason leading up to this year, right? The drama that was being reported between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and those two not being on the same page. And then the injuries to key positions. You know, the injury to Rob Gronkowski. And what blows my mind about Gronk, I mean, if you look at the last three seasons, did you know that the New England Patriots record without Gronkowski on the football field is actually better than with him on it? That's insane. That blows my mind. That blew my mind when I heard that stat over the weekend. You know, and then the Patriots, the losses they had this year. You know, I always flash back, I mean, to your people, Detroit Lions. I mean, the Patriots getting, you know, beaten by the Detroit Lions. I believe they also lost to, like, what kind of, the Jacksonville Jaguars was another loss they had this year.
And don't forget the Miami Miracle.
I know you're going to bring up that. Yeah. You were just itching to bring up that, right? What happened, you know, that you don't see that kind of collapse. The Miami Miracle, you don't see that kind of collapse when it comes to a Bill Belichick coach team in crunch time when you've got the game in the bag. I mean, those right there are three bad losses. And the Patriots, you know, you look at this season, you look at losses like that, and you say to yourself, no, this, you know, you can't buy in, right? You can't buy in. You know, how's Belichick going to pull this off? But still, just like all of the elite teams and in all dynasties in the world of sports, I still came here on the air and said to myself, I will not buy in to the Patriots until I see them lose in the playoffs, until I don't see them in that AFC championship game. And lo and behold, here we are. The Patriots now preparing for their 39th playoff game with Tom Brady at quarterback. And I must say, you know, Sunday's AFC title game in Kansas City against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, it will mark a rarity, folks, because the Patriots are an underdog in this game. I mean, the Chiefs right now, you know, according to Vegas, they have been installed as a 3-point favorite after leading the AFC from start to finish this season and dispatching the red-hot Andrew Luck-led Indianapolis Colts in the divisional round over the weekend. Now, the Patriots coming off an impressive win over the LA Chargers. I thought this was going to be very, very close. But Tom Brady and the Patriots, you know, that was as close to a flawless game as you can play come this time of the year in the National Football League. Unreal. Unreal performance from Tom Brady. Unreal performance from Sony Michel. Unreal performance from that New England Patriots defense. It was as close to flawless as you can get, and it really speaks to the brilliance of Brady and Belichick. You know, this is what Bill Belichick does. When it comes to preparation, there is no one better, and this is what makes him one of the greatest coaches that the game of football has ever seen. But they'll be underdogs as they take on the Chiefs on the road this Sunday, on the road when they've struggled all year. They are right now 3-5. The Patriots have a 3-5 record on the road this season. But I just still, there's something in me that cannot bet against this team. You know, the Patriots clinching their eighth consecutive, which is mind-blowing, right? That's a mind-blowing statistic as well. Eight consecutive AFC championship game appearances, extending their own record. And how rare is this underdog status that speaks to the dominance that has been New England? Since they started this run during the 2001 season, the Patriots have been underdogs just six times. Sunday will mark number seven. And then you hear all the chatter about Tom Brady, right? He's old. He looks like, you know, he doesn't look like the same guy, you know, that we saw dominating the league. You know, Tom Brady is solidifying himself, if you already didn't believe it, as the greatest quarterback of all time, period. Aaron Rodgers, I hear the argument when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, but we have not seen Aaron Rodgers do the things that Tom Brady has done many seasons with less talent that we've seen Aaron have. I mean, it's simple as that, folks. You know, Brady, 41 years old, completed 65.8% of his passes for 4,355 yards, 29 touchdowns, 11 INTs this year. That's at 41 years old. Even though his 97.7 passer rating was his worst since 2014. In 2014, his rating was 97.4. But on Sunday, numbers out the window. He looked like his old self. He looked like the GOAT that we have been talking about for a while now. 34 of 44. 343 yards and a touchdown. I mean, just listen to what players, just his teammates are saying about him. Daron Harmon, safety for the Pats. Quote, he's a gamer. Tom Brady is the GOAT. He does it each and every game for us. Each and every year. There is nobody ever better to play the game than him. Heck, even the, you know, again, you know, you got Daron Harmon there. Also, Jason McCourty, who was in his first season with the team, and Sunday was his first ever playoff win. This is what Jason McCourty had to say. Quote, Tom is Tom. I would definitely say he carries us without a doubt. I think for us, especially for me, every time you go out there and see him on the field and you see him executing, you just get a feeling like, I am happy. I am on this side. I mean, those are glaring quotes, right? Those are quotes that, you know, when you hear a teammate say that, you know, I just kind of have flashbacks to what teammates would say about players like, you know, LeBron James, what it's like playing next to greatness like that. You know, players like Michael Jordan, you know, me being a big NBA guy, I'm bringing up NBA examples right now. You know, when you would hear Pippen talk about what it was like playing with MJ and watching his greatness up close and personal, and then looking down at your jersey and realizing that he's wearing the same jersey as you, and you're just sitting there. You get caught up kind of watching greatness, right? You forget you're out there on the playing field. I mean, those are those kind of quotes. Tom Brady at 41 years old, playing at this kind of level? I mean, I realistically believe, I mean, if he's playing like this at 41 years old, who says that Tom can't do this for at least another year or two, barring some crazy injury? And I also saw, Connor, a story that came out that he had an MCL injury in November, and that just recently, he's fully getting healthy, which would probably allude to some of those numbers going down for him. That was a big storyline before the game, that Tom Brady has been injured this season, even though it just now got released to the press. But what we're seeing from him and what we're seeing from this team right now, it isn't a fluke when you play an LA Chargers team with that amount of talent that you completely blow them out. That's a culmination of hard work, preparation, and understanding the moment, which the Patriots have always done throughout their dynasty. And a lot of people aren't talking about this, folks. You know, here we go again. These two teams did meet this season, and the Patriots actually beat the Chiefs 43-40, one of the most exciting games of the season. So can New England do it again? You know, that was the first loss of the season for the Chiefs. And as good as the Patriots' defense looked on Sunday against the Chargers, Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs offense is a different beast right now. This will be a close game. All I'm saying is, even though the Patriots are underdogs here for the first time in quite some time in an AFC championship performance, I'm not betting against New England and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I'm just not. I've seen this story, maybe not to this magnitude before, because I think that the Patriots look more the most vulnerable I've ever seen them. But this is still the New England Patriots. It's going to be a fun game, Connor. And I'll reserve my prediction for later on this week. But what are your thoughts on this before we hit this first break?
I think when we watch them play the Chargers, it's important to remember, I think New England owns real estate in the Chargers' head and Philip Rivers' head, because there have been so many teams that the Chargers have had that have been just better than them. But I think that's the Chargers' boogeyman is New England, is Belichick, New England, and Tom Brady. I don't even know if they would be able to beat him, even if Tom Brady's 58 years old out there. I think it's just a lot of it's in their head, because you saw that how that offense performed in the first half, just not characteristic of that team. I will say though, playoff Brady, playoff Patriots, different
it's a
animal,
different team,
different
man.
Animal from the regular season. It's just it's not fair.
What amazes me about the Patriots is the discipline they have. I mean, they go out there, you don't see them make a lot of mistakes, mm-hmm. and that is a true testament to Bill Belichick and his system. His preparation is bar none. I mean, you won't find a better coach in the National Football League who prepares for the playoffs, again, better than him. I mean, he's unreal. And also, you know, there's a changing era here in the NFL, Connor. I've alluded to this earlier this NFL year. I think it was after that crazy game that we saw between the Rams and the Chiefs. Offense, offense, offense. Defense is becoming a lost art. You can bet your bottom dollar that, you know, come next month, the 2019 Super Bowl, we're going to see a lot of points. Because right now, the top four teams by seeding in the NFL, if you go from each conference, of course, also happen to be the top four teams in offensive rankings. That's no coinky dink, folks. The Chiefs at 35.3 points per game, first, still dancing. The LA Rams at 32.9 points per game, second in the league, still dancing. The New Orleans Saints, third at 31.5 points per game, still dancing. And the New England Patriots at fourth in the league, averaging 27.2 points per game, still dancing. The top four offensively efficient teams in the league, still dancing in both respective conference championship games. It's a new era of football, Connor. You have to put up points. I don't care how good your defense is. You have to put up big points if you want to have a chance of winning in this league today.
And even if you're going to put big points, your defense, it doesn't. We see it with the Chiefs. It doesn't have to be locked down all game. It has to be last two to 4 minutes of the game. Can your defense put the offense back on the field? And that's the thing I think the Chiefs do better than anyone. Yes, their defense is not the best in the league. I will never claim that. But
it's like 20th or worse.
It's not the greatest defense. But every time I watch them, time and time again, 3 minute mark, they need to get the offense back on the field. They do it. They get Mahomes out there, and they always put it. They always give their offense a chance, which is I think it's really slept on. Whereas a lot of these other teams, it's like we got to get those stops early,
right,
but then they kind of crumble towards the tail end. So
you got to play good in those key moments. Your defense has to make key stops.
I think that's just something the Chiefs do really well. I think also for the upcoming game again, I'll say the prediction, but I think a lot of people underestimate the home field advantage out of Arrowhead.
That's true. I mean, it's a great
crazy atmosphere. There, last week's show with Jack, we were bringing up they still have the record for loudest stadium. They beat Seattle twice. So
wow, that's
and
amazing.
They don't even have that little arch. So
exactly, it is a crazy atmosphere to play in. And if any team can deal with it, it's the creme de la creme when it comes to the New England Patriots. So I'm so looking forward to that game. Get your popcorn ready there. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, You'll hear from Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team, as Izzo held his press conference less than 24 hours after beating Penn State on the road yesterday. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I want to just pass along some information concerning our phone lines as well. Connor just let me know that we're having some technical difficulties when it comes to our phones. So if you can't get through, please weigh in on social media. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News, as many of you are already doing. Or, again, tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. All right, Tom Izzo was not impressed with much of Michigan State's double-digit victory over Penn State. The Spartans built a lead early, dominated at times in the paint in that 71-56 win on Sunday afternoon. But from Izzo's standpoint, that's all they really did well. They really did not play good during long stretches in that second half. So I just want to roll in right now some audio from Tom Izzo's afternoon press conference at the Breslin Center today.
Other than playing Cassius the last 4 minutes of the first half to pacify all of my great supporters out there, I thought we did some good things in the first half of the game. So overall, you know, we played pretty good. We played pretty good defensively, and I got to feel good about that, but after watching the film, our lack of our fast break is created by some of the new bodies in there, and gives us a lot of things to work on. As far as the overall right now, you know, got to be pleased if you're 6-0 in the Big Ten, especially when you have three conference road wins and another big road win this past weekend. Didn't think we played our best, but I thought we did get some valuable minutes out of our freshmen. I think Gabe played 21. I don't know what Aaron played more than that, 25. And Foster got 11 or 12 minutes in, so that was, we got some production out of that. But these next 10 days, you know, with the teams we're playing, it's going to really lead to some challenges. And starts with no better team than Nebraska. Right now, they're playing well. They've won 20 straight home games or something. They, it's a tough place to play. They present some problems that they're really big at the guards and very athletic at center with a guy that can, and Roby, that can do a lot of different things. I think we create some problems for them, and that they don't have that physical guy inside. And so, you know, I'm sure they'll do some different things on Nick. As far as Josh and Kyle, on status quo, we're hoping by the end of this week to know a little bit more on Josh. As far as Kyle goes, it's pretty much day to day. We kept him home so he didn't ride on the plane with the sprained back. We won't practice today. But should have a better feel on him in the next couple of days. You know, I think you saw the group we're probably going to play with on Thursday, yesterday. So we'll see what happens. As far as Nebraska goes, they play tonight against Indiana, and that should be a whale of a game. They're averaging nearly 80 points a game. Scored 70 or more in over half their games. Big guards will be a challenge for us. We won't be able to play with two small guards very much. Palmer's averaging almost 20 a game, has 8 20-point-plus games, and they got four players in double figures. You know, Copeland is a very good player, averaging 14. Watson has been playing the whole time, and I think Roby, even though he's only averaging 11.5 points a game, is a tough matchup. A very athletic kid who has had some moments where he's shown he can play beyond college. So we're looking forward to the challenge. We got to get on track with our freshmen, get our break back on track, get our lanes running again. Been a little frustrating in that respect, but it's also been rewarding that we're 15-2 going through both, you know, McQuaid early, Josh for quite a while now, and Arnie late. And all at a similar position probably makes the run a little more impressive if I was an optimist, or a little more disappointing if I'm a pessimist. So you guys pick what I am. Questions?
Tom, 6-0 in the Big Ten, 15-2, as you have alluded to. But when you look at those injuries, none of these guys are out for the season. Can it be a blessing down the road because you're being forced to give those freshman minutes that when March comes, maybe they've gotten more than they wouldn't have had these guys not been injured?
You know, it's funny because conventional wisdom will tell you that's true. The funny thing is, if you listen to the talking heads, and this is one of the things they're normally right about, when you get in the NCAA tournament, you're usually shrinking your playing group. You got the, you know, what seems like four-hour TV time so they can pay Fred's salary, you know, so they have big TV breaks. They have, it just seems like you're going with your best players. I think anytime you can get experience is good for guys, but I don't know if there's anything good about having injuries. You know, it's just it makes it very difficult as a coach. It makes it difficult for Cassius. You know, he's been running that break so well. All of a sudden, guys aren't running as hard, or they're not running as wide, or they're not running as deep. And so you've got some issues. I didn't think we did a very good job of feeding the post. I thought Nick was open yesterday. So, you know, I'd like Utopia to have none, but we've had three, and it's been at the same position, more or less. And so I think our guys have handled it probably better than I have.
So, again, Tom Izzo, some small audio coming from this afternoon's press conference at the Breslin Center. A few points I want to make concerning what you just heard from Tom. And, you know, we'll get to that on the other side of this final break as we put a bow on this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. That and more. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Before that final break, you heard the voice of Tom Izzo at the Breslin Center putting his thoughts together after having a little less than 24 hours to digest what happened at Penn State, as Michigan State just made it look easy throughout most of that 71-56 dismantling of the Penn State Nittany Lions. But a few points I do want to make, and also want to note this, that Michigan State will not be practicing today. So they'll be resting day after a game on the road. Totally understand that. Also, Josh Langford and Kyle Arnes will know more about their injuries and their future status later on this week, hopefully before that next game at Nebraska come this Thursday. Josh still dealing with that ankle injury, and, you know, without Josh, it's been seamless, right? Even though they don't have Josh Langford, who was a pretty big part of this Michigan State men's basketball team, you know, Michigan State has found ways to win without him and win pretty easily. Kyle Arns, and I think it's a good sign. Kyle Arns, he did not travel with the team to Penn State. He is dealing with a sprained back injury, and he didn't even, you know, hop on the plane. I mean, and for those who have flown, you guys know. I mean, those seats. I don't care what airline you're flying. Those seats aren't comfortable. They're not the most comfortable because they make you just kind of sit up and, you know, just that would have been a very uncomfortable ride for a man who is dealing with a sprained back. So we'll know more about the injuries of Kyle Arns and Josh Langford later on this week. Hopefully they get healthy and can go back out there and compete for Big Ten play. But you know, a point I want to make, and I totally understand why Izzo, is because some will look at Izzo's comments after that game, especially when Bill Rafferty interviewed him, and Izzo was just not happy, and say, oh, that's just Izzo being unhappy to be unhappy, because he's always angry no matter what. But no, I think that Izzo has some legitimate points. I think that right now I'm surprised by the Big Ten, because for me, looking at the Big Ten so far, looking at what's taken place this season, it's like it's Michigan, then Michigan State, and then a bunch of okay teams. I haven't been overly impressed with the Big Ten Conference. Granted, it's very early in the Big Ten year, folks. I mean, there's still a lot of basketball left to play. But what I've seen from the Big Ten Conference, with the exception of Michigan and Michigan State, I've seen just a bunch of okay teams. That's it. And, you know, looking at the bigger picture, I'm going to really dive into this to begin tomorrow's Current Sports. Looking at the bigger picture, I don't know how well that will bode for the Spartans and the Wolverines, because, you know, on one hand, you can look at this and say, okay, when the NCAA tournament comes, just how truly tested will the Spartans and the Wolverines be? Granted, though, I look at the Wolverines, I don't care who they're playing. I mean, there's just certain teams you look at and say, man, that team is ready regardless. And I think the Wolverines are that kind of team. But Michigan State, I'll just say this. Thank goodness. When you look at those second half mistakes, thank goodness they were playing Penn State. Because I think against a much better team, they may have slipped up, folks. So I'll dive more into that on tomorrow's Current Sports. All right. But until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Much love to Connor Mathis behind the glass for holding it down on this Monday edition of Current Sports. Thank you to all of the listeners out there. We'll see you on Tuesday. Be easy, people.